And perhaps some of your questions. All right, now this morning the subject announced on your bulletin is how to have a prosperous new year. And I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, the first chapter of the book of Joshua. That's the sixth book in the Old Testament. Joshua, chapter 1. And I'm going to read with you the first 9 verses. Now remember the subject, how to have a prosperous new year. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest what? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way what? Prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now keep your finger in there and turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles and the 26th chapter. And I'm going to read just 2 verses and then explain the background. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 4, speaking of a king called Uzziah, we have these words, and he, Uzziah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he, Uzziah, sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. How to have a prosperous new year. You know, the Christian life is something like mountain climbing. We climb to a certain level, and then from time to time we stop and we look back and see how far we've come. And then we turn from the backward look to the forward look, and we see the steeps that lie ahead. We look backward and we look forward. Now this morning is the last Sunday of 1984. When we meet again in this capacity, we'll be in 1985. And so we've come to, the last of the old year, and we're on the threshold of the new year. So we look backward, and we say, as did Samuel back in the Old Testament, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Hitherto have the Lord helped us. Then we turn and look in the other direction into the unknown future, the unexplored 1985. And we can say, henceforth unto him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Henceforth unto him. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That's the backward look. And henceforth unto him is the forward look. We raise our Ebenezer this morning and say, thank God for every victory, every mercy, every deliverance, every supply that has come to us from our bounteous Father during 1984. Hallelujah. We face the future with confidence. But now, what about this word prosper and prosperity? You know, in the New Testament, there was an apostle named John, and he wrote to a friend of his named Gaius, very short epistle, and he said to him these words, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mightest be in health and prosper according as thy soul prospers." Now, what did John mean when he said to his beloved friend, "I want you to prosper"? What did God mean when he said to Joshua, "I'm going to give you the recipe for success, for prosperity. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success"? Again, what did the Lord mean when he wrote concerning Uzziah the king and said, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper? What is prosperity? Well, depends on whom you ask. You ask the worldling out there. If you ask the non-Christian society of our day, they would say prosperity. Well, that comes in the form of material possessions. That comes in the package of wealth, health, and success, and prestige, and well, self-attainment. That is prosperity. If you ask the other world, the real world out there, if you ask the living God how he defines prosperity, I think the answer will come in the words of our Lord when he said, "A man's possession, life is not what a man possesses. Life consists not in that which man possesses." In other words, true prosperity and true success is not money. No, it is not money. It is not status. It is not prosperity, according to God's definition, is not better homes and gardens. It's not bigger cars. It's not promotion in business. It's not the acquisition of material things. It's not knowing the right people and getting the right answers and attaining the right goals so far as this life is concerned. That is not true prosperity. True prosperity and true success lies in knowing, hear me now, knowing the living and the true and only God, and walking in his will. This is true success. Otherwise, Moses was a failure. Otherwise, Joshua was a failure. Samuel was a failure. David was a washout. Isaiah was a flop. And John the Baptist was an utter fool. And Jesus Christ himself was a disaster. Did you hear what I said? I said that if success and prosperity is according to the weigh scales and according to the measuring sticks of modern methods and modern standards, then all those men were abject flops and failures, including our Lord himself. Our Lord said none of the things that today are reckoned to be the status symbols of success. Our Lord said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man is not where to lay his head. When he wanted to illustrate one of his sermons one day, he said to one of his friends, one of his disciples, show me a penny. He couldn't put his hand in his pouch or his pocket and pulled one out of his purse. He said, show me a penny. He didn't have one of his own. And yet our Lord was the greatest of all successes in the true sense of the word. What is true success? Let me give it to you from the inspired word through Jeremiah the prophet. He said this, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord who exercise loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Isn't that amazing? Let me give it to you again. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, the God of the universe, to know him in a personal experiential way, to know him on speaking terms. This is true prosperity. Now, going back to the passage that we read a few moments ago, let's just look in on it and see if we can understand it. Moses was dead. He had lived to be 120 years, and he had led the people of Israel right to the border of the land of Canaan. Between the people of Israel and the land of milk and honey lay the Jordan River. And all they did was to cross that and entered and possessed themselves of their God-promised possessions. But Moses now had led them to the border, and he had died. But the God of Moses hadn't died. Hallelujah! The God of Moses was still alive. And he buried Moses and he picked up Joshua. And he said, Joshua, I'm going to give you the honored privilege of leading this people. And there must have been 2 million of them altogether, across the Jordan into the land flowing with milk and honey. And I'm going to give you a title deed. I'm going to give you a clear title of this whole land over there. Now, Joshua, I want to talk to you. Are you listening? I want to talk to you, Joshua. And then he said to them this. He said to him this, Joshua, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right or from the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then comes this monumental verse that I want to give you this morning as we stand on the threshold of a new year. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, D-O, obey, follow, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be not afraid. Be of good courage. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, God said to Joshua, look, I want you to take this word, this book of the law, and do three things with it. Number one, receive it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You'll receive it, but you'll not spit it out. Secondly, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And number three, you're to do it, and you'll have good success. In other words, God said, I'm going to speak to you out of my word. I want you to take that word and make it your own. Absorb it, assimilate it, and then you'll have good success. And then God said to Uzziah, many years later, Uzziah was not a great commander, and yet he was a king. And it says of Uzziah these very significant words. It says, as long as he sought the Lord made him prosper. Now, do you get the two things that I'm trying to say? God said to Joshua, if you receive my word and obey it, I'll prosper you. And then God said to that king, if you seek me and you recognize your dependence upon not your own smartness, but upon my authority and my wisdom, I'll prosper you. So, putting it together, prosperity, true prosperity, comes down from God. There is the downflow, the inflow of the Word of God. And then there's the upflow of prayer and praise. I repeat, there's the inflow of the Word, this book of the law. And then there's the upflow of prayer and supplication and entreaty and communion with the living God. The inflow and the upflow. And that, my friends, I believe in a nutshell, provides us with the secret of true success. Now, there were three things that Joshua had to do. Did you notice it? Well, listen to the text. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written in the word. In other words, there were a threefold process. He was to first of all receive it. Secondly, he was to meditate upon it. And then he was to practice it in his life. You know, first of all, he had to receive the word. There are three prophets in the scriptures that are commanded by God to do a strange thing. And what was that? They had to eat a book. A what? Eat a what? Eat a book. Who was that? Well, one was Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, and he was a great prophet, he said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And they became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Ezekiel was the other. Number two, God said to Ezekiel, take this word and eat it. And the third is John in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 10. He's shown a book, and the prophet was to eat that book. And then the second was that they were to meditate upon it, and then third, they were to put it into practice and give it, flesh it out in their lives. You know, there's a threefold process in the operation known as digestion. digest. I said there are three steps in digestion. First of all, there's appropriation. Secondly, there's mastication. And thirdly, there's assimilation. Now you say those are big words. You young people, let me explain. First of all, there's appropriation. That's the first step in the matter of digestion, physical digestion. There is appropriation. What do you mean by that? I appropriate my food with my teeth. I don't just look at the food. I don't just smell the food. But I appropriate the food. How? Well, this hand says, I'll help in the process. And this hand or these hands reach out and take the food, and then the food is transferred from the spoon or the fork or whatever to the mouth. And the teeth come into gear, and the teeth say, thank you very much. And the teeth go into action. So we appropriate the food. That's the first step. Obviously, believing about food, looking at food, thinking about food will never satisfy the pangs of hunger. I've got to eat the food and make it my own by a personal appropriating act. All right. Act number one is appropriation. That's what the prophet had to do. That's what Joshua had to do. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You're to receive my word by eating it. Secondly, the second stage in the process of digestion is mastication. What's that mean? Well, mastication simply means that the food is chewed. When we take food, we appropriate with our teeth. We don't bolt it down immediately like a dog. We masticate it. We chew it. When I was a little boy, I was taught to chew my food 30 times. 30 times? Chew, 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 chew. I take a long time eating. I still chew a lot, but I don't chew it 30 times. Sometimes only 29 times. 28 times. But I chew it. Chew it. Now what are we doing? We're mixing that food with the salivary juices. There's certain juices in the mouth that mix with the food, and the choppers go to work, and we chew and we pulverize that food, and we convert it from a chunk, shall I say, to an appropriate texture, and it's mixed, and then it's ready to be swallowed. And the third stage in digestion is assimilation. I appropriate it, I masticate it with my teeth, and then it's transferred to the stomach where other juices are introduced. Certain other juices are processed, and in the process of digestion, that food is converted. Some of the food goes into waste. Other parts of the food go into the bloodstream and converted into muscle and tissue and blood and all kinds of ministries that food has throughout the body. And the process of digestion is then complete. The same, my friends, with this book. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You must receive it into your mouth. I must appropriate it. I must read it. Did you hear that, Christian brothers and sisters? I must read this word. You say, well, I don't understand it all. Neither do I. But I read it. And read it. And read it. And read it. That is appropriation. But then, secondly, Joshua was told to meditate upon it. Meditate. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night.
meditate. You remember the first psalm? Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Doth he meditate day and night. In the 119th psalm, which is the longest psalm in all the scriptures, over and over again, David said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long." Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Meditate upon these things." What is meditation? It's the same as mastication. What's that? Chewing. 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 The cow that gives us milk illustrates the point. The cow has eaten of the grass, the food, and then she lies down and she chews the cud. All ruminating animals chew the cud. Not all animals, but the ruminants chew the cud. Now, when the cow is chewing that cud, what's she doing? She chews and chews and chews, and then swallows, and down it goes in the form of a cud. In a few minutes, up it comes, and she chews it again, and chews and chews and chews, and then down it goes. After a minute or two, up it comes again, and she chews and chews and chews and chews. What's she doing? I know what's coming out of that. You know what's coming out of that? Milk. Milk for my shredded wheat in the morning. Milk. But she isn't chewing that cud to give me milk. She couldn't care less about me or my breakfast. But this is how God has made her. She's pulverizing that food and mixing it and so on. That's meditation. Oh, it's not that the cow is meditating. But my friends, that's what God means when he said we're to meditate upon the word. It's not the bulk. It's not the amount of food that does you good. Did you hear? It's the amount that's assimilated that does you good. It's the amount that's assimilated into body, brain, cell, sinew, and so on. It's not the amount of reading of the Bible that does you good. It's the amount that you meditate upon and understand, and then, number three, practice. And that's the third. So, just as what I eat makes me what I am, and I am physically what I eat, whether I like it or not. The same is true spiritually. What I eat produces what I am. If I feed on television and the crazy, rotten romance and the false values and false standards and anti-Christian standards that are piped in and channeled into millions of living rooms and into millions of hearts every day, I will be a skeleton Christian. I will be a walking skeleton so far as my Christianity is concerned. I'll be a sick Christian. My friends, if I feed on junky books, if I feed on anything that is contrary to this word, I'll be a very weak, flip-floppy, and unstable Christian. Unhealthy. When a man doesn't want to eat, he's sick. He's sick. And so, my friends, the recipe for prosperity is receiving the Word of God, meditating upon it, and then doing it. Did you hear that? Coming under its authority and say, well, this is what God says, and I'm going to obey it. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Then shalt thou have good success. When I was a young Christian, I used to I used to be blessed under good Bible teachers. Some of the greatest men I can remember were men that knew the Word of God, and they lived the Word of God. And they had a tremendous influence on my life. I remember Samuel Rideout. I remember B.C. Greenman. I remember A.E. Booth. I remember those men. I sat at their feet. I was awed by their knowledge of the Scriptures. You know, and then Mr. Greenman died, and Mr. Rideout died, and Mr. Booth died. And I thought, oh my, my. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Lord, if Mr. Booth could have just willed me his knowledge of the Scriptures. If he'd have put in his will, I give, devise, and bequeath to C. Ernest Tatham all the knowledge of the Word of God that I have accumulated, I give it to him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? My friends, it would be an absolute disaster. It would have been the worst thing that could have happened to me. It would have made me independent of God and independent of His Spirit. And it would have made a peacock out of me. I wouldn't have to pray. I wouldn't have to read. I'd have it all. I inherited it. And God said, no, you'll get it the same way they got it. You'll read and you'll practice and you'll do what the Word of God says. And then, dear old Josiah, God said, as long as you seek me, I'll make you to prosper. As long as you seek me. And as long as Josiah prayed and was dependent upon God, not sitting on his throne all day with his crown on, but on his knees. As long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. And so, my friend, there's no substitute for this. Knowing the Word of God and practicing the Word of God. And secondly, being in fellowship with the living God in prayer from day to day. Prayer? Yeah. The Lord Jesus said this. If you read Luke 11 this afternoon, you'll see how many times the Lord used the little word A-S-K, ask. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? The Lord Jesus said, if you ask in my name, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened, ask and it shall be given unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knock, to him it is opened. Very simple, going to the Father and just laying out my petitions before Him, attending the prayer meeting on Wednesday night and gathering with my brothers and sisters to ask the burdens of the heart and to give praises to Him, our God. So, this is the way to true prosperity as we go into 1985. May we go in, my friends, with the resolution. I'm going to give more attention to that book. I'm going to read it every day. I'm going to establish a family altar in my home. I'm going to read with my kids every day. They'll scream and kick and object and so on, and your wife may even. But you as the priest in your home, Father, you're the priest in your home. You're the leader. And you should be the pacemaker and say, we're going to give 5 minutes to the Lord. We've given an hour to television. We're going to give 5, 10 minutes to the Lord, and we're going to read the Word of God every day. Doesn't take long. You can do it, my friends, in 5 minutes or so by reading a portion and then having prayer for the family and with the family, pausing to wait upon the Lord to give thanks for a good night's rest. We do it at breakfast. You may not be able to do it at breakfast. Do it at supper. Do it during the day. A family altar during which the family bows before the Lord and reads the Word of God. And God will give you a prosperous new year. May God bless His word. I'm going to ask you to sing. I'm going to ask you to turn in your songbook, if you will, to number 376. Take time to be holy. And as we sing the first verse, I'm going to ask those of you who are going to unite with us as a family to come forward and stand with me right across the front here, will you? I believe there are 5 altogether, Mrs. Adams, Mr. and Mrs. Sam Douglas, and Mr. and Mrs. Don Murray, and there may be others who would like one of these sheets. You'd like to know just what we believe here, and you'd Well, we'd be glad to give you one of these at the close. All right, shall we stand? 376. Take time to be holy. And come forward, will you, as we say.